I know now through their working.
Could we turn our Bibles, please, to the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, wherever you come from. Both are right, I suppose. Habakkuk, Habakkuk. And just going into the first chapter. You know, there's a guy who owns the gym that I attend, Robert. Susan made me laugh the other day because there's a whole lot of things go on in the gym. It's not just a case of going along and doing your session or doing your exercise or doing whatever it is. You start to hear how people are. You start to hear how people are living or dying. You know, you hear life struggles as well as life's victories. And I'm really enjoying the environment of just being there to be an ear and sometimes to be a voice if required. And I'm loving that. And Susan says, you know, you don't know it, but you're becoming the chaplain of the gym. And I just started to laugh, but you know, I thought, Susan, I'll have that. I can see myself as the chaplain of the gym. And as I received that, you need to receive that as the chaplain on the building site. You need to receive that as the chaplain in the shop. You need to receive the chaplain wherever you are. You're the chaplain. And when Susan said that, I just immediately grabbed it. But you know, as much as I enjoy... The coach today has got a four-hour seminar, and he's teaching from 10 till 2 today. I had no longing to be there. I wanted to be here. So there was no distraction. It was a no-brainer as far as I was concerned that where I should be. But I did say to my son, pick up any good points, take a note and let me know. But he did say, you know, and I laugh as well because he's quite, well, a lot of the times he's not even aware that he's swearing. So the swear words just come. And people sometimes get shocked by that. And sometimes I think he does it to shock them. But sometimes I think he's doing it in ignorance because it's part of his vocabulary. So who am I to judge the guy? And somebody had written on his Facebook page, you know, a four-hour seminar. If you take out all the swear words, it'll just be an hour. That's the kind of guy that he is. But, you know, as much as he's got all that crudeness, he's got some real nuggets. And he's got some real diamonds in what he says and what he believes. For example, he said this, you cannot out-train a bad diet. You cannot out-train a bad diet. Linda, you're looking puzzled. In other words, Linda, if I'm going to the gym 7 days a week and I'm eating hamburgers 14 times of the week, I'll never out-train my bad eating plan. He said this, 90% of your transformation is done away from the gym. Think of that. 90% of your transformation is done away from the gym. And when he's starting to see these things, boy, I'm grabbing, I'm thinking, that'll preach. I'm getting sermons from this guy in the world. I love what Mags once said. She said to me one day, she said, you know, you're terrible. That's what she says. She says, you're terrible. So what do you mean I'm terrible? She says, well, Phil says a sentence and you get a sermon. And I love that. I just catch people's comments. And you can just start to sermonize and spiritualize these things. 90% of your growth will be done away from this place on a Sunday morning. We can give you the choicest of morsels. We can give you the choicest of food. You can go through 2 years of Bible college. You can go through 3 years of Bible college and a further 3 years after that. You can't just throw scriptures at situations. You've got to start living what you're learning. I've always maintained that these Caris Bible colleges are like greenhouses where you're secure and you're safe and you're warm and you're cozy and you're growing because of the great food that you're receiving. But what about, where has God, what's the song that Ian White sings, John? The ship wasn't meant to be built in the harbour. It was made for wind and storm. You're made for wind and storm. You're made for it. You're made for it. You're built for that wind and storm. John 16:33 says, in this world you will have trouble. Read it from the Amplified. It doesn't make good reading until you get to the butt. In this world you will have trouble. You will have frustration. You will have distress. But be certain, be undaunted, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. You're built for wind and storm. You'll not sink, Nicola. You might think sometimes you are, but you won't sink. Susan said this morning, and I know exactly where she's coming from, she says, without God I can do nothing, but with God, well, you're never without God. Amen. Good, Larry. I'll talk to you. You're never without God, Larry. You're never without Him. I get drawn to those who are drawn, you see. You're never without God. God's already promised you, Joan, that He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. So why do we pray before we go on a journey, oh God, go with us? Hello? He's already said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You'll never out-train a bad diet. There's no. What are you dieting on? Are you dieting on grumbling and groaning? Are you dieting on isolation and rejection? What are you dieting on this morning? Well, that's what you're going to grow. It's true. We can give you the choices of meat today. We can give you the choices of morsels on a Sunday. But if you go and do your own thing Monday through Saturday, then you will never out-train a bad diet. Man, I can say a lot more than that. It's great stuff that these guys teach. They don't know they're teaching the Word of God. I've said that to them. I've told them that one day, the guy who owns it. I said, you know why you're so successful? Why? I said, because you're putting into practice godly principles. But I'm not a religious man. I went, neither am I. I said, but you're putting into practice godly principles. I said, and the Bible teaches that God will not disown or distance Himself from His Word. He'll fulfill His Word. He went, what, even to a non-believer? I went, absolutely. And he went, really? I says, look at the number of people that showed up to Jesus to be healed. Were they believers? He says, I don't know. I said, well, let me tell you, they weren't. I said, but Jesus healed them all the same. Amen. I says, you put God's word into practice and it works, even for a heathen like you, Rob, I said to him. And he laughed. Hallelujah, he laughed. He wouldn't like a punch for Rob. He's a fit boy. Hallelujah. But you know, it's true of God and His Word. You're not without Him, church. And I just pray, Bill, your Word has greatly blessed me this morning. And your Word has greatly encouraged me this morning. Because it meant more coming from you than it ever would from me. It came from the body to the body. We're going to be having Chris teaching through February on a couple of Sundays in February. I think it's 5 and 12. So take note that Chris Cree will be ministering on 5 and 12. And I've specifically asked him to minister on finances. Because if you're like me, you'll just, when I first heard Andrew Womack teach on finances, I'll go, a typical American. All he wants is your money. Well, you know, these are guys that have left home, have given up everything, have sold everything, have given away everything, to get here. Even left their cat, Smokey, back home. Oh, Smokey's doing good. Smokey's living in the palace. Just a change of guard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Still in the same old home. But you know, they've got a testimony. They've got experience. They're putting into practice what they're going to be teaching. So I'm preparing you a month in advance that he's going to be talking on money. He's going to be talking about your money in your pocket. And I'm so looking forward to that. I really believe that you'll listen to him more than you'll listen to me. I'm not saying you don't listen to me, but somebody who's living it, a couple who are living it, it's worth listening to, I would have said. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, 12:15. We thank you for your word. We praise you and give you glory, Father. We thank you that your word is above everything. Your name and your word is above everything. And I thank you for that light and lamp that it is to our path, Father. Lord, that you, by your Spirit, would illuminate our hearts this day as we dig deep and deeper into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Habakkuk chapter 1, and I'm jumping in from the second half of verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 1, jumping in. 3b, if you want to call it that, but it says, destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Verse 4 says, therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. I remember many, a long time ago, ministering something different from the book of Habakkuk, but what I do remember and always highlight at the beginning is in chapter 1, it's all about Habakkuk's complaint. He's complaining. He's thrown up a moan. He's also thrown up his own observations. And you and I can sometimes come before God. You see, you're the reason I sing, we sung. And you're the song that I sing, we sung. Well, I want to tell you, no, it's not. That's not the only song that you and me are singing. I'm sorry, but it's not. And if it's offending you, then that's your flesh. This is good for your spirit. That's not the only song you sing. You sing a song of complaint. You sing a song of injustice. You sing a song of rejection. You sing a song of want. That's the songs that we sing corporately. That's not the only song that we sing, but it should be. Well, I sing it in my spirit. Well, let your spirit manifest it to your face. Let your spirit manifest it to the rest of our bodies and our beings. Let's manifest what we're singing. Church is challenging, and feathers get ruffled. But I believe there's feathers being ruffled here that will be, and lives will be changed for eternity. You're hungry for the Word of God, and we all want to change. God has begun a good work in us, and He will see it through to completion. I was going to say, don't take this personally, but please do. Please do. Don't examine spouses. Don't examine one another's hearts. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, don't look at your brother or your sister. We're looking in here right now. I've got a bad enough job working on this old heart. Never mind trying to sort yours out. I can't sort yours out. I can't. It's beyond me. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. It's you and him. Hallelujah. So here he is. He's starting off with a complaint. And we're going to see at the very end. He ends with a song of joy. He ends with a song of praise. In 3 or 4 chapters, his whole life turns around. Changes. There's transformation. And we're not going to get through it all today, so we're not going to jump ahead of ourselves. I'm just going to chill out and relax and just do it over 2 Sundays. I'll be wound up next Sunday. So I'm just learning to pace myself. Hallelujah. But the words of Habakkuk that we've just read, they're relating to the despair that he felt as he looked at the state of his world. You know, you can look out to your world. You can look out to the world today. And you know, if you look far, you just switch on your TV and you see the state the world's in. And I don't believe it's dissimilar to what Habakkuk was looking at. It's not hard to have the same reaction. It seems that things are spiraling out of control. There's so much bad news in our world. There's so much bad news that it's hard to take it in every moment of every day. I mean, the best thing you can do is just switch that button off. Just switch the. If it's that important, God will get that news to you. He really will. You don't have to be in tune every moment the BBC are broadcasting. They call it the BBC News. It's not news, it's supposition. It's what they've imagination. It's not news. It's their take on something. It's their thought on something. Most of what you're listening to is not news. Some of it will be. Most of it is not. I like what a guy once said. He says, a number of years ago, I decided that they would blast me no longer for the BBC News at 6 o'clock. They would blast me no longer for half an hour. I just listened to the 2-minute broadcast on the hour on the radio. But then he realized, man, they shoved a lot of stuff into 2 minutes as well. So eventually he just gave up on it. I've not given up on it. I still like to know what's going on in the world. I think it was Billy Graham, who once said, he was talking of another famous preacher of his time, where this guy, it was, what do you call the plumber? The plumber from Yorkshire, Bradford. Smith Wigglesworth gave up on newspapers. He just banished all that from the home. They weren't allowed in his home. And Billy Graham said of Smith Wigglesworth, you know, he said, because of that, he probably missed a whole lot of good sermons that he could have had. But he says, I'm sure the Holy Ghost would have filled him in with what he missed. Yeah. Now, you can get things. Billy Graham himself, during his ministry, used to take popular songs of the day, the hits of the day, and he would take these tunes and then put Christian words to them. So there are things that we can get from the world. I'm getting things from the world, from a guy in the world in the gym. I'm getting things from them and then taking and turning them to minister to me. That saying really ministered to me. That saying is helping me transform my eating plans because I cannot out-train a bad diet. And that's where my biggest downfall is. It isn't going to the gym. I'm up at the gym every morning at 6 o'clock. I'm there. Naomi Fisher can't even do that. She's been once and she's never been seen since. So I'm showing these young ones how to do it. Don't say anything, Naomi. Just show me grace. But here's the thing. I could be there 6 o'clock every morning, but then pigging myself at night. Biscuits, shortbread. Who invented shortbread should be shot, you know, especially this time of the year. I can't help but go to the shortbread tin. And I keep trying to say, I tell myself, oh, I'll do another couple of sit-ups in the morning. You can't out-train a bad diet. I've got to discipline myself to cut out the rubbish. And isn't that the same in our spiritual lives? We've got to discipline ourselves to cut out the rubbish and only eat what is good for us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So without vision, where Habakkuk was at this point, without hope and purpose for living, it's very easy to allow despair to set in. However, we'll see through this story that vision can change your entire perspective. Habakkuk's situation didn't change during the short book in the Bible. There's only, what, 4 chapters, if I remember right? 3 chapters. It didn't change. The outlook didn't change. But by the time God was finished changing his vision, we'll see that he was shouting and dancing. The first thing God did was give him a reassuring word, which I believe this same word applies to us today, if we will apply it. You see, we can all quote scripture. We can all throw a scripture at a mountain that's coming against us. But you've got to apply what you're saying. You've got to apply what you're speaking. You can't just parrot fashion, spit it out there. You've got to believe it. You know, Susan said the devil's relentless. Well, whenever somebody says that, not just my wife, but whenever says the devil's relentless, the first thing that rises up within me is this, and so am I. So am I. I am relentlessly pursuing the kingdom of darkness and to see the truth illuminate the hearts of those walking in darkness. I'm relentless on that and I will not give up on that. And I know that I offend even my brothers and sisters in the Lord because of my passion for that. I'll stand for truth and I'll stand for justice and I'll stand for righteousness. I hate injustice of any kind and I'll stand for that and I'll fight for that. So I'm relentless against the kingdom of Satan and all his minions. I will never give up on that. Hallelujah. So look what he says. This word of encouragement came in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Look at the nations and watch. This is God speaking. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Wow. Wow. Now you link that with Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Because today I am doing a new thing. But then God challenges us. Do you see it? Do you perceive it? He throws it out. And I've always said that every day God is doing something new. We're the ones who don't see it. Even if we are told. Oh, Lord, never let me be in that camp. Let me remain teachable. Let me remain in this place of teachability, if that's a word. Let me remain in this place where I'm hearing from your Spirit, that I am responsive to your Spirit, that I am sensitive to your Holy Ghost. Let me be so one of those people. I don't want to be one of these that would not believe even if I was told. Change is good. Man, I've had to bang on that one a few times. Change is good. People try and hide behind it and say, well, it all depends how you implement the change. No, change is good. Change is good. Change is good. And I praise God that this church is changing. I praise God that this place is growing. I praise God that this place is developing. I praise God that you're changing. I praise God that you're growing. I praise God that you're developing. I praise God for the ministries being raised up in this place. I praise God for the leaders that are coming into this place. I praise God for the leaders I've got. I praise God for the leaders I've got to come. Change is good. Because I'll tell you what, the bunch of leaders you've got just now, they can't cope with what God wants to do in this place all by themselves. And every leader in this place right now, every one of my elders should have said amen to that. Because you can't cope, John and Emma. You can't cope, Phil and Mags. You can't cope, Susan and John. You can't cope, Ronald. Because of what God wants to do in this place. That's why God is bringing solid, mature people to this place. And I include everyone sitting in this room and those not here. And then those to come. There's ministries in this place that are not even yet born. There's ministers in this place that you didn't even know you've got. And we are going to do everything in our lives and our ministry to get you to where you're meant to be.
Amen.
Because we're secure in who we are in Jesus. I believe I've got one or two future pastors in here. I've never told them that. But I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them. And you know, to my existing eldership team, that might come as a shock. Well, tough. I know what God's revealed to me. I know what God's spoken to me. I'm becoming more radical the older I get. I'll be 60 in a few short weeks. I know I don't look it. Linda. Linda, I just bought myself a t-shirt. It says, legends are born in 1957. It says, 60 years of being awesome. And you know what? I believe it. God has made me awesome. I believe that. Well done, Ibuka. Me and you on the same page. I believe it. I really do. Hallelujah. I want to say this to you. God's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. In the midst of chaos in our lives, in the midst of turmoil, we may not feel that we've got any voice. We may not feel as though we've got any influence. We may feel as though we have no control over the direction the world is taking us or even the way that our lives are going. But be encouraged, because God's not finished with you yet. I believe that God is quietly working behind the scenes. I love it. Remember, we spoke about that, how God was hovering in Genesis chapter 1. God was hovering. Over the earth. Hallelujah. God was hovering. God's hovering over you right now. Quietly going about his business. Quietly just engineering things. Quietly maneuvering things. Circumstances, situations, people. To come blessing and flooding into your lives. God's doing that. Even in the building site, he's doing that for James right now. As he's busy doing his building chores, God's maneuvering. God's working. God's got a bigger plan. God's got greater things. Now, that's not just for James. He's working, Susan. He's maneuvering, Susan. He's making things work, Susan. Stuart, Pat, Sheena, Tom. He's making things for you. And you've no idea them yet. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? We go, how did that happen? God never does that, Jim. God has it all. God's the one who sees round corners. Nothing ever catches them by surprise. How did you and Craig finish up in the ministry you're doing? You've got no idea. You have got no idea. Can I just say that wee thing that you posted on your own Facebook page about feeding the Syrian family? I then stuck it onto my Facebook page. And I'll tell you what, the responses I had will overwhelm you and blow you away. From all over the world, people were saying hallelujah for years in Craig's ministry. And you had no idea, Nicola, God was working. God was hovering. God was moving things around so you could bless a wee Syrian family. So I praise God for all these wonderful ministries. She had no idea. She didn't even know that ministry existed until God spoke a word and pop, something was born. They were open. They said yes. And look what happened. Great things happen when you say yes to God. So he is working behind the scenes. He is working in the hearts of men. God is working on his timetable. Whose timetable? His timetable to accomplish his plans on this earth. God's will shall be done through you. Through you. I believe I've got a bunch of, yes, Lord, I'm on fire. I've got the fire brands in here. I've got those on fire. You're here. This is the ones who are hungering for God. God can use the unlikely. Ta-da! God can use the unlikely to do the impossible. That's good, isn't it? I even like that. I'm taking a note of that. He can use the unlikely to do the impossible. That includes you, Stephen Jackson. If ever there was an unlikely candidate, you're it. Yep. And look at you now. Look at you now coming to church on a Sunday morning, you fanatic. Good lad, Stephen. I love it when you laugh. You light up a room, my friend. And that light is going to draw a lot of people. Family, colleagues, former guys that you used to run about with. That light is going to draw them from darkness, Stephen, into the light of Jesus Christ. You just keep going, my friend. You keep hanging on in there. Even when you feel like giving up, you hang on in there. You're doing a lot better, Stephen, than you think you are. You're a blessing. And I'm blessed that you're starting to reach out to other guys in this place and you're meeting with them and fellowshipping with them. And these guys will lift you up, listen, as you lift them up. You're a blessing. And you're starting to see more and more of that in your life. Hallelujah. I told you about him, didn't I? I spoke about him when he wasn't here the other week because there are things going on in his life and things are looking pretty bleak in his life and when you look at it with these eyes. But his confession was, I'm not worried about it. He says, I was worried about it. When it first happened, I was worried about it, but I'm no longer worried about it. He says, I know that God will sort it out. Amen. I thought, what do I need to tell him? He needs to minister that to me sometimes. So well done, Stephen. God can utterly astound the world. Listen, and the church. He can utterly astound the world and the church with what he wants to do. His strategies are unstoppable. His power is unlimited. And it's in you. The next thing that God did, if we look in Habakkuk 2, was to remind him of the importance of the vision that Habakkuk had previously been given. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 says, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Don't give up on your vision. I praise God that Chris and Lisa didn't give up on their vision. Because they didn't give up on their vision, they're here. And because they didn't give up on their vision, your life is impacted. Because they didn't give up on the vision, hundreds and hundreds of Bible students are going to come through these doors and be blessed because they didn't give up. I'm really blessed when I look at my greatest example, Jesus. He went all the way to the cross and beyond. He didn't give up. Jesus at any time could have given up and said, no, that's it, I'm going home. He could have chosen that path, but he didn't. He could see beyond the difficulty. He could see beyond the crucifixion. He could see beyond the death that he would have to go through, and he would see the fruit of his labors. That's you. You are the fruit of his labors. And his church is on the increase. And his church is growing. It is. Whether you believe me or not, it's true. The church of God is advancing in this world. It's growing strong. You're listening to the wrong report if you think it's on the decrease. Where are you getting your information from? We were once challenged. Where are you getting your information from? Who are you listening to? Whose voice are you turning your ear to? Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. A stranger's voice they will not follow. And that's true, but some of us are following a stranger's voice. We've chosen that path. And we need to get off of that path and back onto the path that God has put our feet upon. Don't give up on your vision. If you've let it go, Get it back. Get it back. If you've forgotten it, take time to remember what God has spoken to you. What he has personally ministered to you. Not to us collectively. What's he spoken to you? Get a hold of that vision. Get a hold of that dream. You know, the scripture says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that Jesus has come that we may have life. No, before that it says that the devil comes to steal, to kill and destroy. John 10, verse 10. He's come to steal, to kill and destroy. And I only found out a wee while ago that that word kill doesn't literally mean killing an individual, killing a person. This is what it means back in the original Greek, and don't ask me the Greek name, I can't pronounce it, but this is the English translation of it. That word kill means a giving up of something free willingly. A giving up of something. You see, the devil can't take from you what God has given to you. The scripture is very clear, is that the gifts and the call are irrevocable, irrevocable, without repentance, however you want to say it. Once they've been given, you can't be taken from you. The devil can't take them, but what he wants you to do is give them up. Give up on them. That's the word kill. It's a giving up. And some of us have given up on the things that God has given us. And that's not only to your detriment, it's to the detriment of all who would listen to you, that would come into contact with you, that would come and sit under your ministry. Oh, John, I don't have a ministry. Yes, you do. The day that you got born again, you moved into full-time ministry. Full-time ministry just didn't happen for me. I just sometimes wish a spirit of slap would come upon me, because I get fed up with the people saying to me, so are you enjoying retirement? If somebody says that once more, Larry. Jim, if I'd hear, I'd pull it out. My answer is always the same. I haven't retired, I've refired. I'm just firing off in a different direction. I'll never retire. I'll never cease from the things in the kingdom of God. I'll work until my favourite way to go would just be to minister the word, then God says, come on, you're going home. I just drew my last breath. Oh, that's my ideal scenario. If Jesus travails and tarries and doesn't, and if I die first, man, I'll die ministering the word of God. It's not a pronouncement. It's not a pronouncement. It's just my desired way of going. Just drawing my last breath, worshipping him. I don't want to draw my last breath saying, oh, see that wife of mine, see these kids of mine. Oh, see that guy at work. Oh, I don't want to draw my last breath grumbling and complaining. I want to draw my last breath giving glory to God. Bringing glory to his people, exhorting his people, lifting up his people, strengthening his people, building his people. There's words you've even spoke this morning that would kill your brother and sister in the Lord. I'm sorry, but it's true. We need to be careful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Nah, we won't go there. Write down the revelation. Make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. I'm just so aware of how there's a lack of us in here right now not taking notes. And yet God tells us to write it down. You need to start taking notes. Ah, I can listen to it again on the website. Yeah, but will you? I know by the numbers. I don't know who you are. So Jacob, I can't tell if you've listened to it again or not. But I know by the numbers. One of the best messages we had in here for a long time was through Mike Dixon. I'll tell you, the whole church should have listened to that again. I know by the numbers it didn't. So don't tell me, or don't try and argue your way out of not taking notes, because you need to be taking notes. Notes aren't, a note in the pad isn't just for a Bible college. We went to the church in Cambodia, and there we were, in the church in Cambodia, and in fact, I've got a photograph of them, because what impressed me most, their Bibles were open, and they all had notes and pen pads and notes. Notepads and pens. I don't know what I'm saying. They were taking notes. And that really impressed me, because they knew that, and I know what I'm like. Because I eventually stopped taking notes, especially when I sit under the ministry of somebody that reads from the King James, because I read either from the New King James or I read from the NIV, predominantly the NIV when I'm in a meeting. And I gave up because I was losing so much trying to read this compared to what the King James was telling me. I gave up. But I've disciplined myself to get these tapes, to get these CDs, to get these recordings, and listen to them again and again and again. Listen to this. I listen to myself. This message right today, I listen to this again. I will. Now, a lot of that is to hear the truth that comes forth, but a lot of it is also to critique myself. Because we do so much travel nowadays, we've used recordings from here to try and cut out the Scots words and the Scots slang words. And that's really disciplined us and helped us. But I listen to what's being said. I listen to myself. Somebody had, it was one of our friends from Jubilee, Seth Swindle, one of the worship leaders, one of the pastors over there. I'd love to have him here, and we will have him here, I'm believing, for one day. But Big Seth was, it was his birthday, and he put a post on, and he sent me a private message. And he was just saying one or two things. And then he gave me a link. He posted a link, and I pressed on the link, and it was me speaking at Jubilee last year. I listened to that. I listened to the whole 50 minutes of it. I said to Susan, I said, this guy's speaking some great stuff. I says, this is really building me up. My own message was building me up. I was so blessed by it. So you can't get enough of what God's saying. So you need to really get to a place of taking notes, church. Because as soon as it's out there sometimes, I know that I can forget. So it's critical and crucial that you take notes. You need to write these things down. Because that's one of the reasons why we lose the vision. We forgot what God said. Well, you know what? It's good to go back in your diaries. It's good to go back in your iPads, your iPhones, whatever it is you keep your notes on it, and have a look at what God said to you a couple of years ago, 10 years ago. Have you grown? Have you improved? Have you matured? Are you just as bad then now as what you were then? It's all about a self-discipline. It's all about growing. It's all about maturing. We need to refresh our memories. We need to get excited again about the promise that God has made to you, which He's spoken to you. Get excited by these things. Don't let your visions and your dreams die. If they have, then have a resurrection. Amen. Have a resurrection party. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Have a resurrection. Now, if we remember, resurrection means the act of causing something that had ended or been forgotten or lost to exist again and to be used again. Oh man, that's powerful. How do you know that? Because Naomi spoke it and I took a note of it. That's Naomi's words right there. Verbatim. I took a note of it. I've got it in here. It's in here. It is in here. I know it's in here. It's in here. It is written. I took a note of what she said that day. And here we are now months later remembering what the Lord had said. Because I wrote it down. I thought that's powerful. That impacts me, and I'm going to use her sermon to impact the lives of many. Because I can reach people with her words that she could never dream of. And she can reach people in her sphere that I could never reach. Oh, it's important you listen to what's being said through one another. What's being said through one another? Is it building you up? Some is, some isn't. Is it encouraging you? Some is, some isn't. See that? Some isn't. That's what God wants to work on. And if you're struggling with the same old, then you need to come and see us for some ministry. You need to come and see us for some prayer. Because you should not be struggling with the same old. You should be moving on. You should be maturing. You should be growing up. You should be getting over yourself as I am getting over myself. And I'm going to end here. Because might take more as next Sunday. Hallelujah. You were made to run with a vision. You were made to run with a vision. That's what gives you the determination to get up every day and do a good job when no one else seems to care. Vision gives you the faith to sacrifice and to do without, to discipline yourself and do what's right when no one else is looking. It's dangerous to live without vision. Proverbs 29:18 puts it like this: where there is no revelation, vision, the people cast off restraint. People who destroy themselves with drugs, with alcohol, have no vision. People who drop out of school, drop out of life, don't see the future rewards of daily discipline. You know, I was thinking about myself, you know, without the understanding of which I didn't have at the time, but without the understanding of graduation and future promotion, school can seem a very cruel and unusual punishment. And back in those days at school, I didn't have that vision. For me, it was a cruel place of punishment. That's what Dumfries High School was like back in those days. I was just translating. For those who went to the high school, you'll remember it well, and what the playground place was like. It was like jungle warfare. And I remember justifiably one day getting 3 of the belt from Mr. Mackey. I was in there getting 3 of the belt, and Duke Swan, the assistant head, walked in. And he went, "Oh, it's Donnelly. Give him 3 from me, Mr. Mackey." So he had no idea why I was even there. I remember the pupils gathering up on Don Barty, the maths teacher. And I can understand why they ganged up on him, but they beat the teacher up. That was the place that I grew up in. So for me, I didn't have a vision. I didn't see any graduation. I didn't see any accomplishment in that place. But I praise God how he has transformed and renewed my mind. And I believe that we are a couple with vision. That we and you are our vision. Every one of you is our vision. Every one of you. I remember wee Jane Hopkins, she said to me one time in the back seat of in the bus in Uganda, she said to me, "John, we're just failing you here in the church." She says, "What's your vision for the church?" And I looked at her and I went, "You know what? I don't think I've got a vision for the church." And she looked at me right in the eyeball and she went, "Praise God." And then she went, "I think." She says, "You need to elaborate." I said, "Well, if you mean by vision or what do I see for the church," I said, "do you mean what program we're implementing or what teaching we're about to be doing?" I said, "I don't have any of that." I said, "But my vision of the church, Jane, is you." I says, "You." I says, "If I can get you accomplishing and moving in the gifts and the call that God has purposed in your life, then we have filled our vision." I says, "Because it's not one person or one man or one couple who lead this." I says, "Everybody in the church is a leader." And I says, "There are people in the church that will lead me into ministries that Susan and I would never have dreamt of." For example, we would never have dreamt doing what Craig and Nicola are doing. We would never have dreamt of what your dreams are. But God has put a vision in your heart. And maybe you have forgotten it. Maybe you have let it go. Or maybe it's just been put to the side. Well, Father, I praise you and thank you that even right now as we begin this study, you're starting to prompt people again of the things that you have spoken to them. Lord, you're prompting them. You're reminding them of words that you have spoken to them. And Father, I pray by your Spirit that you blow on these embers. Blow on these embers, Holy Ghost. Father, let these individuals, let these couples, let these families see that you are not through yet. That you are not done yet. That you have great plans for them. That you have great purposes for them. Lord, that every one of them has a ministry. Lord, that may be local. It may be national or even international. But Lord, I pray that we can be faithful in discharging the duties of our ministry here in this house of God. Amen. Here in this place. Amen. That we will be builders up of one another. That we will be edifiers of one another. That we will be encouragers of one another. Lord, that we will see these saints equipped for the work of the ministry. So, Father, we want to praise you and thank you. Lord, we want to be a people who are running with our vision. We remember Hebrews 11, Father, where they ran with their vision. And yet many of them were still living by faith and running with that vision when they died. So, Father, help us to be faithful in what you have given to us. Lord, we just thank you. I thank you and praise you for these saints, for all of the saints in Glenaris, for the ones still to come. We give you thanks for them. Lord, we thank you for the change. We thank you for the impact that this place is having all over this world. So, Father, I thank you. Lord, we're excited by what you're about to be doing in our midst. We want to be these people, Father, who see it and believe it. But Lord, we want to, I really believe, Father God, that seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing. So let us believe your promises, regardless of what we don't see with our natural eye. Let us hold on as these saints of old have done, Father. Let us persevere. Let us run the race that is marked out for us, knowing that we are running in the footsteps of Jesus, knowing that our race has already been run and won. Father, bless these saints as they go about your business, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're blessed. You can hug somebody. Hallelujah.